I wrote it in such big letters today.
Oh. We didn't have our opening.
We didn't have our intro, John. We just couldn't hear our intro.
Oh, all right. Well, just good afternoon.
Listen, John does what John wants to do.
Apparently so.
And you know what? When you own the station, you can do that.
That's right.
So we can't complain too much, Mike.
We'll get started now. Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas and Dewey, ASR powered by the Yum-Yum Shop. I'm Mike Dene, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, we were talking off air. I mean, I thought we were off air. Hopefully we were off air.
I hope we were off air, yeah. We were saying good things. So, sorry, always saying positive stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's baseball season. The weather is interesting. It's New England. I shouldn't complain.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had some warm days and some cool days and some windy days.
We had some really cold days.
Yeah.
You're right. We had some warm days, and we're on vacation next week, school vacation next week, and it's not looking really good for the weather.
No, it looks, you know, for those that are getting out of Wolfboro, they're probably going to enjoy some nice weather.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday look pretty bad. And then at the end of the week, it looks bad again.
And we've got some baseball next week. And one of them is like a makeup game, and it looks like we could be making it up in the rain, which means it wouldn't happen again.
Right.
So which is kind of frustrating.
But overall, you know, things are good. A lot of stuff going on in the sports world, and look forward to talking to them. We had some people coming in today.
Yeah, we do. It looks like towards the end of the show, around the 4:45 point, our kind of our last segment, we should have Chris Tibbetts and Katie Whalen coming in. They're both on the board of the newly formed Kingswood Youth Football Program, and I don't know anything about it except for that. Other than
you don't know if it's flag football, tackle football.
I do know it's tackle football, and and they have some flag mixed in, and they're going to kind of share with us this new up and coming program. And I know that it's a need for this area. And Chris and his dad, longtime coach, Coach Tibbetts,
Barry Tibbetts
back in the day, coached the Knights, and you know, had some championship and coached with Coach Skelly and all that stuff. So there's a lot of good football blood in the Tibbetts family, and I'm excited to have this conversation to find out what Kingswood Youth Football is going to be bringing to the table, and obviously how we as Mike and the Haas can kind of publicize and support this.
I'm also interested, as is, you know, we are on the board of Cal Ripken, and we've been working pretty hard as far as trying to adapt the youth sports to make it more amicable for kids to play.
Sure.
And we've been doing that with baseball, and you know, we do it with hockey and so on. And I'm curious of what they're doing with football for this because
it'll be interesting.
You can't start a traditional Pop Warner football league.
No.
You know,
no, you can't. And then, you know, one exists already in Rochester and all that. So yeah, you're right, because then you have to figure out who the competition is and all that. Yeah. And all that stuff. You know, interesting thing, I had a conversation with a friend of the show, kind of just like about youth sports, and I know we've talked about it quite a bit, but you know, I know we're getting old, Mike, but back when we were kids, in the fall, really, you only had a couple of sports that you were going to play. Like, so for example, I would play football, you know, there weren't a lot of other sports like that kind of were floating around. And I don't want to be sexist, but typically the boys played football. You know, I think maybe as I got older, you'd have a girl or two that played football, but they were doing other things. Field hockey typically would be the sport that I'm thinking of. But what I'm getting at with this is that now if you want, you can play fall baseball. You can play fall soccer. You can play fall lacrosse. You can do pretty much any sport you want in the fall.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. That's a problem.
It is a problem.
And the specialization, and we've talked about this before, the specialization at a young age is a problem. And all these coaches, and we're in that coaches group, want to prioritize our sports.
Correct.
And so we want to have the best team we want to have the best hockey team, and so we're going to play summer hockey, or we're going to play, you know,
whatever,
an extra fall hockey, whatever
it
is, or you the soccer team. Now, I would say that a big part of the success that the soccer team has had is that they had a lot of kids that were playing off season.
Correct.
But they weren't playing a lot of other sports.
That's right.
Because you have to make choices, and you know, I think of Maurer, the Twins catcher, Joe Maurer,
yes.
Three-sport athlete going all the way through high school.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I think about. Those are the ones that I think kids should be emulating.
Right.
The ones that did play everything. well rounded and had choices when they got, you know, older. And, you know, obviously coordination and genetics and, you know, a lot of things, those things work into it.
Right.
But I don't believe, and I don't know this, I'm throwing things out there. I don't believe that playing 12 months of a sport is necessarily that much better than playing 5 to 6 months of the sport.
Right.
But playing another sport.
Yeah. It's not going to give you any type of it. I don't think you're right. It's not going to give you any type of advantage if you play baseball 12 months out of the year. I mean, if you play baseball 5 months out of the year and play hockey 5 months out of the year and for 2 months out of the year, swim.
But as a parent and a kid, you feel like everybody's passing you because they're all playing.
Right.
And that's the mentality that you have. Everybody's playing fall baseball, but I'm not, so they're getting better than me.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily the case.
No, it isn't necessarily the case, especially if you're in the fall playing another sport.
Right.
You're playing something and doing something.
Right.
And it's, you know, we've been talking about, and we've kind of going at this as from the board perspective as Kings with Cal Ripken, about whether or not youth, at what age the youth should start pitching. And oh my gosh, and we know that our iPhones listen to us, but I have just been bombarded with different, you know, whether it's on Instagram or whether it's on Twitter, about professional baseball players and coaches are coming out and actually saying that there's no need for 7, 8, 9, 10, and even 11-year-olds to pitch.
Who else was saying that?
Yeah, exactly. Mike Tanay was saying that, and we were backing that as a board. But it's really interesting to see talking about how it's more important to learn the fundamentals of the game and not worry about pitching. And they were actually saying, it doesn't mean you can't practice pitching during practice, but there's no reason for them to be pitching in a game situation. Continue. If you want to have your 7-year-old pitch at practice, go for it and have a practice set aside for that. But during games, let them play baseball.
It's a big shift, but I can tell you at my middle school, remember I told you the first game that they wanted to put in some rules and we said, well, let's hold off and let's wait till the second game and so on. So the rules that we're playing in this game, now they're not overly dramatic, but it's an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a middle school 7-inning game, an hour and 45 minutes. That's shorter than it used to be. It used to be 2 hours.
2 hours, sure.
We're doing 5-run max innings.
Yeah.
At the middle school level. We've never done that before.
That makes sense.
But in the interest of keeping the game moving,
We're
doing 5-run max innings. And it's going to prevent kids from getting frustrated. It's going to it's going to keep kids more interested and they wanting to play.
Right.
We got to get it to Cal. We've got to do, you know, those things that we did at Cal. But it's, you mentioned last week, we've got to get a little bit more buy-in than we're getting.
Right.
Mike and Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro. It can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you're in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you are there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive 20% off the Gingy Box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LAKE, 603-569-5253. And it is trivia today, and you're going to, at the bottom of the hour, Bottom of the hour.
Yep.
And you're going to get yourself a free appetizer at the Back Bay Boathouse.
Awesome.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, well, I like that you use the word yawn.
Well, this is my, I don't know, we're 4 or 5 years into the show.
Yeah.
And I think I say this every year.
You do.
The NBA playoffs are a yawn compared to the NHL playoffs. I'm sorry, they are.
Yes.
And it is, and I put down yearly tweet next to it. Flipping that, the Celtics are playing in the playoffs, the Bruins are playing in the playoffs. We'll talk about them, you know, a little bit later. But the intensity of a first-round NHL playoff game compared to a first-round NBA playoff game, it's like night and day.
Absolutely.
The NBA game seems like a preseason game.
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah, it seems like a preseason
you
game.
I agree. You could put side-by-side like two NBA, an NBA playoff game and a regular season game, and you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
But you could do that in hockey.
You would tell.
You could tell immediately what's going on, the difference, the hitting, the intensity, the crowd, the edge of your seats. Everything matters. Everything matters, and you mentioned the end of the Bruins game.
Yes.
You know, that's...
And we'll be talking about that.
You know, that's you don't get that in the NBA.
No.
You don't get that. So that was on my mind, but I'm not going to spend much time on it. If you need to hear that, you can tune into last year's episodes around this time.
check your old tweets.
We didn't mention it last week, but it was the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yes.
And you and I talked yesterday about the Netflix documentary, and it just kind of brings you back to it. And I don't, John, I don't know if you remember where you were, you know, when the marathon bombing happened.
2013.
Yeah. I was actually on the baseball field in Laconia. We were playing our, I want to say it was our home open, our away opener.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite the same as 9/11, but it had an eerie similarity to it.
Right.
That are we being attacked again? And, you know, we were talking with the umpires. You know, I think the first bomb went off at 2:45. Our game started at 4. And so, you know, we had, you know, your phones start going because this is the days of smartphones.
Of course.
9/11, we didn't have the smartphones in 9/11.
No.
You know, that was a little bit different.
You had to find out from TV.
TV. But we had smartphones. Your phones are pinging like crazy. And the umpires, all of us, the coaches, the umpires, looking, do we play this game? Do we, you know, where are we at in this? And I think we were still sensitive from 9/11.
Sure.
It's just the stories that came out of it. And we watched the Netflix documentary.
Right.
And it kind of reminded of what the heroism that came out of that, especially the Watertown police, that whole story.
Yeah.
But how eerie, I'm going to use the word again, eerie it was when the whole area of the Boston area was locked down, shut down, closed down for the better part of 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, it took 100 hours until they got the suspect.
But when they thought he got away in Watertown,
They
shut the whole thing down. They shut down everything.
Yeah.
And it was a ghost town. Nobody left.
Shelter in place. And, get in there.
And I remember we were at school, and we were kind of like, we had the TV on just watching this. It was so weird and so, I don't want to use eerie again, but it was just, it brought me back.
Surreal.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Where were you?
We were talking. So, like, our boys were 8 years old, right? And Abby was 10, and I was at the middle school, Mike. So I was that I worked. I remember working that day, and then coming home. So we got out at like 2:24, and what's that? What's that beautiful music we hear, John?
Somebody's phone.
Yeah. You know, we get out at 2:24, and I was home and watching the marathon.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I was just thinking about stuff like that. So, all right, what do you got?
I have, once again, with baseball, and the MLB continues to improve the game. And I don't know if you remember this. They tried this last year, and they're doing it again. It's called the double hook DH rule. Does that ring a bell with you at all? Like,
vaguely.
All right. So the double hook DH rule, and they're doing this in the Atlantic League. The double hook allows the team to use a DH throughout the game on the condition, Mike, that the starting pitcher completes at least 5 innings. So if you send your pitcher out there and they only go out there for 2 or 3 innings and you pull them, that means every time the pitcher comes up, the pitcher has to bat. So,
or a pinch hitter. You could
certainly could use a pinch hitter. But this is they're using this again this year. They had some success with it last year and they liked it so much the MLB says, let's do it again this season. They're gonna start it again on April 28th. And you know, one of the reasons is we've talked about this. You know, back, Mike, I mean, and once again we're gonna talk back in our day, but it's true. Back in our day, you know, Roger Clemens, when he pitched, would go 8 innings.
Yep.
7-8 innings. Sometimes he'd go a complete game. Nolan Ryan. And now pitchers go in there and, you know, if they get through 5 innings, we're like, this is great. We don't have to go to the bullpen.
The Red Sox, I don't know what's their record. They've played about 20 games so far and
they're about 500.
The first pitchers that went more than 5 innings happened in like game 15. And so, I think Pivetta and Sale, I think, are your two pitchers that have gone more than 5 innings. That's it. They've only had 2.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why the games were so slow is because they're making 17 pitching changes during the game. I hear this, and it makes me mad of what's happening at the youth level.
Right.
Major League Baseball is trying to improve their game. They're trying to take away the reasons why the game slowed down in the first place.
Yeah.
And it became the specialization of pitchers is one of the reasons why it slowed down. Bring in your specialized lefty guy to face the righty guy.
Right.
Or the lefty. You know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah.
And so the end of a Major League Baseball game was like the end of an NBA game. excuse me, that the last 2 minutes of an NBA game take like a half hour.
Yes.
It's crazy. The last inning of a, or last two innings of a Major League Baseball game used to take like an hour.
Yeah.
Because of all the pitching changes. Yep. And especially a team like Tampa, and you know, I know they're doing obviously very well, but they have so many pitchers that they go through.
Right.
Guy throws an inning here, an inning there, an inning there, so the games take a long time. Interestingly, though, the Red Sox played a game in under 2 hours.
They did,
this
in
week.
1 hour,
did
you, 57
do you
minutes.
Do you check that now?
Because I do. I'm
checked,
all over it.
I check the box score to see the time of these games, and I find it really interesting.
Yeah. As a fan, I would have been fired up just, you know, if I were at the game. If I were at the game, I'd be like, oh, 2 hours. I didn't even get my money's worth.
Sure you did. You got to see a quality baseball game.
No, I agree. I agree.
So I'm all in. Anything that they can do to make the game move quicker.
And the other thing that they're trying to do is, so right now pitchers in the MLB can step off the mound twice.
Yeah.
All right. So in the Atlantic League, they can only step off once. So
the Savannah Bananas playing the Atlantic League?
No, wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't know if we mentioned on the show because I'm heading down to Savannah and I wanted to go to see the Bananas and I couldn't believe the ticket prices for them. It's $300 just for general admission for these guys.
It's out of control. I mean, it looks so fun though, and they're making their tour, their country tour. They're going up to Portland, but we can't touch those tickets either. And they're going out down to Worcester.
No, it's insane. Yeah. I mean, I want to almost like start my own Savannah Bananas.
And I mean, I'm loving it because not only is it just the play. I mean, you've probably seen it. Umpires are involved now, and it's so much fun.
It's so choreographed. So, all right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
Did you see the?
All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. I wanted to mention that opening takes are brought to you by Hancock Lumber
for all your building supply needs.
We kind of forget about.
We should not forget about them, though.
Of course not. Oh. Kingswood Sports, which is brought to you by Bailey's Bubble. We need a little slogan for them.
Yeah, we got to come up with something.
Chippa's got to give us something.
Yeah,
Deb.
We could sing a little song about Bailey's Bubble.
You could sing a song.
A little jingle. A little Bailey's Bubble jingle.
You can do that.
I will. You know I will.
I'm sure you
will. But Bailey's Bubble's getting ready to open next month. Can't wait.
All remodeled.
Beautiful. I don't know if you've been down. It's gorgeous. Their soft serve machines are getting hooked up today.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Anywho, the baseball game. Kingswood Varsity baseball team. I have a baseball game going right now, so we beat Laconia last night 2-1.
That's not true, Mike.
We beat Laconia 17-0.
They beat Laconia 17.
Our record is 2-1. We had lost to Pelham last week. We're at John Stark tomorrow. It's still early. I think it's safe to say Laconia is in a rebuilding stage.
Yes.
Their teams. And we saw this at the middle school level a few years ago because these are the kids that are playing up at the high school. They don't have a JV team. They don't have enough kids for a JV team.
Right.
But this is I think their current middle school team is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is a long term for Laconia. I think they have just
a kind of a little blip. Yeah, and baseball now, and talked with Coach Skelly this morning, and now they're going to, like, tomorrow is a test. They're playing a team that's really good, John Stark.
Yep.
And then Monday they'll have Coe Brown, and Plymouth is good this year. So they're going to start hitting teams that are good baseball teams.
Yeah, and it's going to put some pressure on the pitching staff. And I mean, I've said this before. I think our defense is pretty solid. Mm-hmm. But our pitching is young, and so we're going to see what that ends up looking like.
Want to give congratulations to number 12, Will Danae. He hit his first high school home run yesterday, which was fantastic. But of course, in any type of Danae fashion, there had to be some controversy. So the ball was hit out there, and then the umpires had to have a meeting because happened to be in left field. He hit it in left field over the fence, obviously, and that was a clear home run. But of course, they had to discuss it to make it just a little bit more nerve wracking. And I say in pure Danae fashion because when Will with his 100th point for hockey, it was also a little unknown, they had to kind of figure out. So
it was in our if you haven't been down to the varsity field, that we have a home run fence that's white, and the two previous balls that were hit out there bounced over the fence as ground rule doubles.
Yes.
It is very hard to distinguish. We had one that went under the fence in the middle school game before I left.
Yes.
And it was like, did that land out? It is really difficult. But me being right there and my boys' first high school home run, I was yelling to make sure that they knew that that was a home run.
Four bases. And we're doing the signal, home run. Yeah.
I don't know if they would not have called it, would I have run onto the field?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Probably not.
No.
So, thank Coach McCullough. Coach McCullough was able to get the ball for Will.
Awesome.
And gave it to Will.
Good. Softball, Mike. Softball is off to a 3-0 start, but I'm telling you, it took a walk-off last night against Laconia. And it was they were down by a couple of runs late in the game, and they had to score one run in the sixth, and they had to put one on the board to win it in the seventh. So that was challenging.
Coach called that one wrong.
He did. He called it on the show that this was going to these next couple of games, meaning Laconia, were going to be a little bit easier. And Laconia put up quite a fight last night. So, but you know what? They're 3-0.
That's right. Boys lacrosse, they're still looking for their first win. They lost to Goffstown and Oyster River, two pretty strong lacrosse programs. They're at Kennett. I think that's probably where they should get their first win.
They should get the win tonight.
And then they have Sauhegan tomorrow. That's a little bit harder.
Yes.
And girls lacrosse lost to John Stark. They beat West, and they lost to Manchester Central. So they're off until after vacation, I see.
Yes.
So taking that break. And I wonder if that's the future for all New Hampshire sports.
Yeah, that they're going to take. Like we had talked to Merrimack Valley, for example, no practices, no games over vacation. Yeah, I wonder if that's the case.
I know that they scheduled some baseball games for vacation, but the original schedule was just Monday, and that was it, and the rest of the week was off.
That's right.
I just wonder if that's a trend, and I could see that coming from the NHL. They changed the basketball whole season schedule to accommodate February vacation in basketball.
Right.
So they
right.
wanted that season because they were losing kids going for February break.
Yeah. It's interesting. Here's my gut reaction, because I haven't completely processed this, but this is what I'm going to say, and you'll probably disagree. If you're a varsity athlete, you are making a commitment to that sport and to that team. I don't have a problem if you have games and or practices over vacation, because you're making a commitment to it. And as long as it's clear and the coach makes it clear that we are going to, have to play two games or whatever over vacation. And if this is something that you can't do, then play JV. And you can be on the JV team. And that's fine if you want to be able to go to Disney. I just kind of look at it, and probably because I'm bitter now, because, with our kids, we're not going to get to enjoy our vacations, because our kids have always played during vacations.
You're right.
We've never had a vacation as far as vacation time.
I think the times are changing. I don't necessarily think that it's a good thing, but there are a lot of kids that don't play high school sports because they're playing AAU or doing something like that where, if you miss some games on the weekend because your family went away, then you missed it because it's not a high school sport. It's an AAU sport.
Right.
And so there's a little bit more flexibility in their schedule because they also play three times the amount of games. So if you miss two or four or whatever, it's not that big of a deal.
You're also paying to play.
And you're also paying to play.
Yeah.
New Hampshire sports are in competition with these other leagues to try to get the kids to play high school.
Yeah.
If a kid has a choice, I'm going to play AAU and play high school, but I'm going to go to Disney,
yeah.
In February with the fam.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. And, I've always struggled, and I hear what you're saying, but I've always struggled when a family has a trip and they have one vacation a year.
Yeah.
We have a lot of vacations, being a teacher, we have that flexibility. But I remember growing up, and my parents, my father's 2 weeks a year, his vacation two weeks a year, and those were sacred. And when
they happen, you're going.
Right. And he wasn't, scheduling anything around our sports. It was, it was his 2 weeks. That's all you had. And so coming from that perspective, and a family wants to do their one Florida vacation that they have because they don't, maybe it's the one vacation they take in 6 or 7 years.
Right.
It's hard to.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
I would like to see if something's going to happen, I like it to see it come from the state level.
Yeah.
I like to say, okay,
And it's going to be interesting, especially with, you can correct me if I'm wrong with, you can speak about hockey, but I know basketball, during the Christmas vacation, you have the Christmas tournaments, and these are big fundraisers for the schools that host them. So it'll be interesting to see if those disappear. A lot of them are Billy Joe Memorial Basketball Tournament that's been going on for, you know, 47 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And does hockey have tournaments or?
Yeah, we play the tournament up in Canada. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But it's
another fundraiser.
December 26th, 27th, and 28th. So it's right afterwards. Now, it's not league play. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
it's not league
it
play. So
the
if somebody leaves, and I mean, I don't know Coach Potenza, how his stance would be on somebody leaving for something like that.
Sure.
But I. As I get older, I get a little I'm less cynical in terms of this. I agree with you, though. Yeah. I've stuck around for all these vacations so my kids could play sports because we're committed to the team.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the way it is. They just built a new arena that, you know, my kids got 1 year out of.
Right.
You know, so, but it's good it's good for the future.
Right.
I'm happy for them.
And it's kind of funny because we joke around. Our boys played, like, senior Babe Ruth during the summer, and the two of us were, like, okay, well, we're not going to go away until the Babe Ruth playoffs are over.
Right.
You know, we even accommodated that.
But I think that everybody's a little bit different. We have obviously, you know, our families have put a priority on responsibility to the team.
Yes.
You know, these are team sports, and responsibility to the team, and you make a commitment to the team, then you're doing it. And I've always said with hockey, that's a family commitment.
Yeah, sure.
And that's not just a personal commitment. That's a family commitment.
Right.
So
we'll see. But I think you're right. I think the shift, it'll be interesting. I think the shift that the NHIAA is going is that they're going to start not having sports during traditional school vacations. Now, you know what would make things real simple, Mike, is if we in New Hampshire all took the same dang vacation.
I was just going to say.
Like, my wife and I have different yes, you know, vacations.
I know. I was just going to say the same exact thing.
Put everybody on the same, you know, okay, this is when everybody's taking vacation.
New Hampshire should be able to take. I understand why we're on a different vacation than Massachusetts, because, like, up in the ski areas, they need people to work the slopes and stuff like that. But New Hampshire schools should be taking the same vacations.
Yeah. I mean, Wakefield is different than GWRSD, so my wife and I, she was off 1 week while I was working, and then I was off
one
the
of the
next
reasons
week.
Why I'm at Kingswood is because when I was at Tamworth, we had different vacations,
yeah.
And every February vacation, I was taking off with the boys to go to Myrtle Beach golfing, and my wife would be here working, and eventually she said,
no, thanks.
You're coming down and teaching with us.
Yeah.
So, anywho, all right, that's the second anywho today.
I
was using that today in school today.
The anywho.
I was trying. It's a long
What's
story.
Going on? All right,
a long story. But are we ready to take a break? Is it
time? Yeah. But before we take a break, we're going to be coming back with trivia sponsored by the Back Bay Boathouse. And then, like we said, around 4:45, we should be expecting some guests, Chris Tibbetts.
So in the
and
next
Katie
section
Whalen.
After the trivia, we're going to hit the Bruins, the Celtics, the Patriots, and the Red Sox, because we're going to be saving the last section for
Kings,
youth football.
Kings with youth football.
All right, we'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. It is trivia time, as Charlie mentioned, and you're going to give us a call, 603-569-5253, with the correct answer once Charlie reads the question. And if you give us the correct answer, we're going to take your information off air, and then you can head down to the Back Bay Boathouse for a free appetizer.
Awesome.
Stick that with your meal, or just go down and get the appetizer.
Yeah, and the Back Bay Boathouse has their deck open, and they have all new tables and chairs out there.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's good stuff. All right. Here is the trivia question. Who was the last Red Sox player inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York? Once again, who was the last Red Sox player inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York? 603-569-5253.
So while we're on the topic, let's talk Red Sox for a little bit. Pedroia's coming up. He's going to be 5 years, I want to say next year.
Yes.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Well, it's funny. I mean, unless do you have a – you didn't have a stats here, do you?
We've done a stats before, but you got a two-time World Series champion.
Yeah.
You have an MVP. You
have a Rookie of the Year.
You have Gold Glove.
Yeah.
I don't know if he won a batting title. I think he might have.
Yeah.
You have a perennial All-Star.
Yeah, I was going to say based kind of on, like, you know, cardiac data and just how I feel – I would say yes. Looking at some other second baseman that are in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I
think he's
so.
A first ballot Hall of Famer.
I mean, how many? You know, he wasn't just an extra cog on these teams that the Red Sox were winning. He was the MVP. He was the Rookie of the Year. He was the Gold Glove. You know,
yes.
He was the guy that batted third or second or fourth. You know, 1 year
sometimes, yeah.
You know, or first. You know, he was that guy. He was the energy behind the team that won World Series. And, you know, you and I have gone, you know, back and forth about do they have to win. It's like, it helps. Winning helps. And then the part that you played on that team.
And the fact that he helped, that he won more than once.
And he won more than once. Yes. So if you say that, I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
Derek Jeter won four World Series titles.
Yeah.
I think he won four.
Yeah.
As a shortstop with average stats. I don't think he ever had an MVP. I don't think he ever had a Rookie of the Year.
Right.
I could be wrong. I'm Derek Jeter fans can call up. But I mean, I think Pedroia's stats, based on that, on your cardiac data, I think he should be there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Red Sox, let's just pound them out for a little bit. Are we satisfied with a 500 team? Probably at this point, right?
I think so. I mean, I honestly thought we were going to be sitting here talking about a team that was 13, 14 games out. You know,
no, I mean that's just a matter of time.
I know, but that's. I mean, I thought we were going to already be there, just based kind of on the way they started. And granted, they haven't played really great teams.
No, they've played pretty much the worst teams that are in the league, minus Tampa.
So,
Minnesota right now is a good team. I don't know how they're playing right now. They're probably done.
Yeah, well, they got pounded last night.
They did. Yeah. I mean, that game was over. Corey Kluber. What a bad signing that is. He is toast.
He is toast.
So I'm looking up for the Red Sox. Hey, Red Sox won 11-5 today.
So they they returned the favor.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're back to 500.
Yeah. Good.
And I'm going to pull a box score because I want to give you some recent information because one of the disappointments right now is Yoshida.
Yeah.
Yoshida has been tragic. He's not just Yoshida, half the lineup is batting below 200. It used to be that, they used to call it the Mendoza line. And because if you batted 200, you weren't in the major leagues.
Right.
If you batted below 200, you were not in the major league unless you hit 55 home runs like Dave Kingman used to.
Right.
You know, that's what it took. Yeah. Now we got guys that are, okay, so I'm going to run through the lineup. So Verdugo is 2-for-4. He's batting .338. Legit.
Okay. Yeah.
But then he was pitch hit for Rafe Snyder, so I don't know. Well, I guess they were the blowout. Devers is batting .269. He went 1-for-4 today. Verdugo had a home run, and that was the only home run. Turner, 1-for-5. He's batting .257. Arroyo, he was 1-for-1. He's batting .176, so there's one that's one below one. Yoshida, 2-for-5, so it's a little bit better.
Yeah, that is better.
And he's batting .189. Brought his average up to .189.
Okay.
Kiki Hernandez, 3-for-5. He's at .229, so he's come out of it a little bit. Tristan Casas, we were waiting on him, 1-for-2. He's batting .143. These are I know it's not that early. We're 20 games in.
Yeah.
Connor Wong, your guy, batting .179.
My guy.
Your guy.
Yeah.
yeah. Jared Duran, batting .385.
Yeah, but how many at-bats, Mike?
I don't know.
He
does have some at bats, and then Chang is batting a solid 100.
Yeah,
that's not a playoff roster.
That's no.
But if they can hang around 500, if just keep this thing somewhat interesting, somewhat representative baseball. But there's another story to this though. Is that if they do hang around, doesn't that justify the whole method of what they're doing, which we're very frustrated with?
Which we're frustrated by. Yeah, and another thing that just popped in my mind: Josh Spalding had said. Oh, he brought up the Vegas. It was Vegas had them. He said 78 wins. 78 yeah. Vegas,
yeah.
Which is interesting because we should never really go against Vegas. And you know, you're right. So 78. I mean, is 81 games is 500, right?
Right.
So
it's in the ballpark of that. You're like 87, 89, something like that.
I'm crazy. I'm 88.
Yeah.
I'm 88. And when you were what? 84, 85?
I'm like I was 82 to 85. No, I think I was 81, 82. I think I said 500.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, and that's where 20 games in, that's where they are.
They are 500, but like you said, Minnesota was a first place team, so that's legit.
It's legit.
They have the top pitching in the league, so that's legit. Yeah. They have some of the worst hitting in the league, though.
Yeah. The fact that they beat the Angels was not a surprise. I mean, they took three out of four.
Three out of four, but I mean, I would argue that they probably should take four out of four from the team like the Angels, even though they have the two best players in the league,
which is crazy.
It's insane that the Angels put those numbers together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to wait another 2 weeks. We're not going to be on next week. We'll make that announcement
now. Oh, that's right, yes.
It is vacation week, so we're not going to be on. So, I'm assuming we'll do a rerun, John. Dude. We don't even know. We don't know that one.
No. John will figure that out. Maybe John will just be on to chit-chat with everybody.
positives. I think Chris Sale's his last couple starts have been a little bit better,
which is great. I mean, he's been so hard on himself, and I love it.
Yep,
and,
me too.
And he's, you know, this, I owe this to the fans. I owe it to the crowd. I love it. Yeah. So,
and Verdugo, obviously, he's a positive right now. Yeah. The negative right now is Yoshida, and then I said 4 to 5 starters that are batting below 200.
Yeah,
a lot of errors still in the field. They're not a clean. They're not a clean team. I just in my opening line here, I said the bottom of the league in most categories in offense and defense and pitching, but they're near 500. And I said, how good is Cora? Yeah. That Cora's managing this group,
yeah, getting him
misfits,
to actually win, yeah, you know. Getting him to win some games.
So
I like that you have the Heim spinning propaganda.
Oh, he is. Yeah. It is such garbage. Please get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Please get rid of him. I call him a nerd, but he just, it feels like he is completely out of touch with reality, yeah, and the pulse of Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, no, he's a numbers guy, and he's looking at it from that.
From a spreadsheet.
From that point of view, and you know, what can this guy do? And gosh, if he
from a data point,
if Heim Bloom were in charge, like of you know, the team itself, say he replaced Alex Cora, we would have a new pitcher every batter because, yep, you know, this guy, you know, with this angle of sunlight can't hit this angle of pitch. I mean, that's the type of guy we're talking about, and it's worked, but not, it doesn't work a lot of the time.
It doesn't work in a vacuum. There's got to be other things that are involved. And I think that's why Terry Francona and Theo Epstein were a good combination of it, because they took in the data, they applied the data, but they weren't obsessed with the data.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what it is. Now we're in this element of that we're obsessed with the data. Turn the page to the Bruins. Are we worried?
Oh, extremely worried.
Extremely worried.
Last night was awful, and it ended awful, Mike. I mean, they didn't even finish the game.
No.
Because it was so bad. I mean, the Bergeron thing, you know, first, you know, coming out first where it's illness, and then.
Now he's
then
hurt.
Then we find out, you know, is it an injury? Did he get. And we knew that he got injured in the last regular season.
Which is
game.
A whole other story. That why was he playing in that game? Was it, you know, because he had fans in the stands and because he's from Montreal? So that's not good. They look tired to me. They look like a tired team, and now you're like, oh, Jesus, they went for the record, and they got the record, which is great, but now they look tired. They don't look like they have anything left in the tank, and Florida does. Florida's a bad first-round opponent. Florida won the President's Cup last year. They had the best record in the league, and they lost in the first round.
Yeah.
So they have good talent, and they've added to their talent in Tkachuk.
Yeah. And they're hot, too. And, I mean, people say, oh, the Bruins won the last 8 games. Yeah, I get it. But the Panthers won the last 6 games of the regular season.
Right.
And those games mattered for them.
Yes. And so that's a huge problem. I'm optimistic that they're going to pull this out. But Game 3 is huge. I really thought that they were going to clean up at home.
Yes.
They might lose one in Florida and then clean up back here. Yeah. I thought that it was going to be 4-1, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, this could get out of hand fast.
Oh, absolutely. How crazy, though. Game 3, it's going to be so physical. It's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of bad blood between the two teams right now with the way the game ended last night.
Yep.
You know, 7 players ejected. The referees stopped the game with 3 seconds left, sent everyone, you know, so the game over. It's going to be ugly. So, you know, the Bruins, I mean, I'm going to make an obvious question. Must win Game 3? No questions asked.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a must-win for the Bruins.
I think so. I think it's so much more important for the Bruins than it is, and we don't know what's going on with Bergeron. The Bruins play their injuries very close to the vest.
Yeah.
So they really need him back badly. Celtics, they cruised. I would say they cruised, but they didn't cruise behind Jason Tatum necessarily. It was Derek White.
MVP. You know. MVP. You heard the chance. White MVP.
How does Tatum feel about that?
I'm sure he's
ticked off.
He is so ticked off.
You mentioned they should sweep the Hawks. And I could see that. It's the Hawks don't look very good. But they can't win the whole thing with Derek White.
No.
They're going to need Tatum. They're going to need Brown. They're going to need these guys to step up. But it is nice that those guys are going.
Hey, let me do the trivia question one more time. All right. Once again, trivia is sponsored by the Back Bay Boathouse. To get yourself a free appetizer, give us a call at 603-569-5253. Who was the last Red Sox player inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York? Once again, who was that last Red Sox player inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York? You're going to call 603-569-5253. If you heard a little noise in the background, we have our guests have arrived, and we'll get to them next segment. It's Katie Whalen and Chris Tibbetts. So welcome, guys, and we'll get your mic live for the next segment.
We still have a couple minutes. I want to touch base Patriots because all of their coaches and office staff, I guess, for general managers or whatever they call them there, were able to talk. Did you pull anything out of it? Did you catch any of it?
I caught some of it. I mean, I caught the highlights and the sound bites, I should say.
I want to jump to the end. Is Bill O'Brien a good coach?
I know you're going to go there. At Alabama, he was.
Was he? Because he had Nick Saban there, and they were running that's the offense that they're running. And
getting back to it, I feel a whole lot better about the Patriots with Bill O'Brien, certainly than I did with Patricia and Judge.
That's fair.
So that's fair. So has there been an improvement with the offense?
But,
yes.
But Bill O'Brien was considered a great – he capitalized on having Tom Brady as his quarterback, and then he went on to Penn State and then to Houston. Now, he had Deshaun Watson and didn't do much with Deshaun Watson.
True.
He had a below-average offense in Houston.
He could have Deshaun Watson again.
What?
No, I'm just
– you know something I don't know?
No, I don't know. Yeah, as we know, they're trying to sell Mac Jones. So,
Jalen Hurts –
the
contract.
Who should have been the Super Bowl MVP? So.
Wait, who got it? No, he should not have been the Super Bowl MVP. He didn't win.
That's because you're still bitter. I am still bitter over your Berlin softball.
First of all, that was Jacora Valley Softball League.
Sorry.
That's a big contract.
Huge contract.
Can you see the Patriots ever paying a quarterback that much money?
No.
Under this regime?
No.
So there will never be a star quarterback again in New England?
No. No, because, I mean, Brady took discount all his entire career.
I mean, compared to these numbers that they're getting, $50 million a year,
right?
Those are huge discounts. Brady never made more than like 22. These are massive discounts that they're that he took, and I don't know how they're going to do it. A friend Bernie is listening. What Buffalo has to do this year, because it's their first year that they have to pay Josh Allen his massive contract of $44 million a year, and you're starting to see them get rid of players to get under the cap and so on. You might as well get rid of Mac Jones now and just draft another guy, because if you're never going to pay the guy, not just any guy, because Mac Jones is going to command 40.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones for the Giants, who was god-awful, he got 40. So you might as well either cut bait with him and draft somebody and go with Zappy, just go with like that perennial backup and try to win that way, because it's just not going to happen. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with some youth football and Kingswood youth football. All right.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. And in the studio, we have Chris Tibbetts and Katie Whalen from the new Kingswood Youth Football League. Welcome, guys. Thank you. You have to step right up to the microphone because it won't pick you up. Charlie, you want to start this?
Sure. Well, first off, I know Chris and I have been texting back and forth, the past day or so, and I saw that you had posted, Chris, on social media, or mostly Facebook, that the Kingswood Youth Football, and I got really excited. So, Katie, I don't know if Chris told you, back in the day, I used to coach Kingswood football, and I know, and I've already kind of talked about you, Chris, and your dad, Barry, and how kind of Kingswood, you bleed green, and Kingswood football, and it's running, it is under there, sorry. It's kind of runs through your veins, and all the successes of Coach Tibbetts and Coach Skelly and going back and championship and 76, 96 and so forth, and it's time for Kingswood football to kind of get back in the game, and I think and I'm selfish to say this, but I think their new head coach in Tom McCullough, love him to death, worked with him so much that I think he's the guy to get this program going and keep it going, and you guys are now bringing in Kingswood youth football. So tell us a little bit about that.
There has been a football program here in the, Kingswood School District. Not many people were aware of it. It wasn't large, per se. It was with another league, and I don't want to say anything negative about them in any way. But it was a very small league. It consisted of six teams, I believe? And we were all focused in one area, and we played all our games at the same fields. And we never really traveled. I think we did one home game here in Wolfboro. But at the end of last season, a lot of the parents, myself included, my husband was a coach, there was a lot of discussion about how the kids kind of deserved a little bit more competitiveness, player development, just more. I grew up in Massachusetts where Pop Warner was big, and football was different. It was more involved. It was, you kind of lived, ate, slept, breathed football for the season. So
we started looking into, me and my husband and another coach started looking into options to see if we could leave that league and potentially join another one, which we were able to do. So we kind of just started from the bottom and worked our way into finding a league, you know, joining. We're getting voted in, I think it's next week to officially be voted into it. It's the New Hampshire Youth Football and Spirit Cheer Conference. It consists of, I believe it's 24 teams. So the kids will have 8 games, 4 home, 4 away. There's an actual playoff season, because that was another thing. There wasn't an actual playoff season, so we had 2 teams, an A team and a B team. The A team was able to go to the playoffs. The B team's games didn't count. Mm-hmm. Our B team was really good. They won their game, but the A team didn't. And the kids were so disappointed that they couldn't that they won, but that meant that they didn't get to continue on and continue to play. So we really wanted to find a league that would have that like playoff aspect to it too. So that's kind of really where we are at right now. And you know, our next step is kind of just getting the community involved. So we're going to be at the NIC on Saturday from 1 to 3, kind of just giving out information, having volunteers sign up, kind of like a little pre-registration, and we'll have a donation table as well. So we invite the community to come down and join us.
That's great. What ages are we talking about?
So it's as young as 6 and as old as 12. So there'll be, depending on what our sign up is, how many kids we get. We could, you know, we could do a 12U, 11U, 10U, all the way down. But again, it depends on our sign up, and there's enough teams in this league that it will work no matter what. So however we need to do it.
Now, one of the great things I heard, you said cheer. So cheer is part of this too.
Yes. And so, I was a cheerleader, you know, my whole life. And that was another thing that was so disappointing about the prior league. There was really no cheer. So that's another thing I really want to kind of be involved with and get going, because I notice Kingswood as a high school barely has a cheer program. And it starts at the youth level. So if we can kind of get these kids having good player development and then transition them into the middle school teams and then on into the high school and kind of have that consistent flow, I really feel like there's some great players there, and we could have like a really excellent Kingswood high school team eventually. You know, not that they're not, you know, great or anything.
Sure,
but
no, interesting. So what really is, as far as just maybe a couple more questions I wanted to ask. So as far as, so you said 6 and maybe up to 12 or whatever. Are we talking flag, tackle, both?
Both. So we can have a flag league if we want. Again, it depends on the sign up. So that's something we haven't kind of had a definite on. I know definitely tackle. So as long as they are, I believe it's, they're 6 or 7 by July 1st or August 1st. Sorry, I have to look at the, they can play the tackle league as well. So, but I mean, it's informational. So there will be coaches on the field and everything like that.
So a kid, obviously we're in Wolfboro now, but if a kid, what are the parameters of who can play for Kingswood Youth Football?
So the Governor Wentworth School District.
Okay.
So if you're in,
so Middleton included?
Yep. And we're also looking into, Alton doesn't have a youth program. Mm-hmm. They go and sometimes play with Farmington, but we're going to open the door to allow any Alton kids who would like to come and play as well. So sometimes the travel's easier for Alton to.
Have you sensed like a lot of interest? Is that why you're able to get this going already? Because there's a lot of interest that you know that's coming?
Yeah, so even a lot of our families who were playing with us last year had demonstrated that hunger to have a change, more home games like Katie had touched on, a different flow. Maybe we'll have a chance to play some teams like Kennett, Laconia that we play when we get to Millen High School. Mm-hmm. Another element is we are looking at a 12U team, and we understood last year that some of the middle school 7th grade kids, because they were so big, didn't get to play a lot. So those 12U age kids that are in 7th grade could play that Saturday game with the middle school, but then have the opportunity to play with us on a Sunday. So most of the games would be on a Sunday.
Oh, nice. Nice. I remember when the other league was playing, I'd be playing golf on a Sunday, and we'd be going down the 10th hole, and the announcer, I don't know who it was, this is 10, 15 years ago, but the announcer would the excitement when these kids were running down the field on a 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and the announcer, there you go, he'd be doing a play by play.
Oh wow!
And it was really exciting. The fans were cheering. There's a lot of excitement at youth football, and we haven't seen it that much lately.
Yeah.
But there really is a lot of excitement. And there's a desire to play.
Well, that's what it was. It's like, you know, we wanted to bring football back to Wolfboro, back to the Kingswood School District. Families love it. The people that do participate, they're there. Every practice, every game, and they're all decked out in their colors, and it's a fun time. So, and
I don't know if you can. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I don't know if you can share any secrets yet. But do you want to talk about any coaches or any other board members or any of community members?
So we have actually quite a few of our coaches coming with us. Just real quick to touch on the interest thing. We did gather signatures from every single parent from the team last year before continuing with this, because we wanted to make sure everyone was involved. So it was there, the interest, because we did get that. But we have Coach Sean, Coach Jeff. He also coaches hockey and lacrosse, and Coach Tim, and I believe Coach DJ. So anyone who played with the team last year knows exactly who those people are.
Yeah. So it's the same crew.
Yep. So most of them, I think,
I was just going to throw in there, Coach Jeff is Jeff Caligandis, and he's a Kingswood alum. He played football.
Jeff.
Yeah. So these names are recognizable. Yeah. Sean Greenwalt, Tim Lane.
Okay.
So these are very well, these are people we know in the community that want to see this going. And the multiple age groups that we were looking at, again, depending on numbers, they would play consecutive games at either Kingswood Field or where we were. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like a full, like a half day of football that you get to see. So that's. Keeps those younger kids excited if they see the older kids playing tackle, too.
Absolutely. All right, before we shut this down, again, when is the information session, and how do people get involved?
So it will be Saturday at the NIC from 1 to 3. We'll be there talking to parents, family, caregivers about everything. We'll have like a volunteer sign up, a donation table. So we ask that everyone come down. Donations is huge for us right now because we left a league. And they're not happy about it. Again, I don't want to say anything negative about them, but we don't have, we're leaving with nothing.
Right.
And so we're starting literally from the bottom,
minimum. You got to get equipment and everything.
Yep. So equipment, everything. We will be offering sponsorship packages and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, right now we're just looking at community donations, anything to help, even if it's your time, we appreciate it more, than you would ever know.
And we do have a Facebook page. It's Kingswood Youth Football. So you can follow us there. KingswoodYouthFootball@gmail.com is our email. And we hope to hear from lots of people.
That's awesome. Well, best of luck with that. Before we shut the show down, we do have a tradition. We are powered by the Yum Yum Shop. You guys have had gingerbread cookies at the Yum Yum Shop? Question. Gingerbread cookie with frosting or without frosting? Ooh. Katie, you first.
Without, actually.
Without?
Oh.
Chris?
That would make two of us. I'm a plain Jane. I know the original Yum Yum. They are so good.
This is amazing.
This is the first time.
Typically, no one sides with me. I'm a no frosting guy.
It's too much.
So I really. It's because it's football, Mike. It's the football in our blood right here. It's the no frosting.
Do you guys know the. Does nobody called in for the trivia? You guys know the answer for the trivia question?
Ortiz.
Yes. David Ortiz.
One last question. We were at before you guys got in here. Do you think Dustin Pedroia should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The dirt dog. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
All right. That's awesome.
We agree with you.
All right. So David Ortiz was the answer to the trivia question.
Yeah, definitely. So next week, next week, we're off.
We are off next week. Yep.
All right. Want to wrap this up?
I do. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss and WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
Hancock Lumber,
the Back Bay Boathouse,
and the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London.
And we want to thank Katie and Chris for coming in. Giving us some information about Kingswood Youth Football.
And don't forget to head down to the NIC at, you said 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Head down at 1 o'clock and find out about Kingswood Youth Football.
And Charlie and I will be back in 2 weeks for more Mike and the Hoss. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, you want to be a picture?
Okay. Yeah.